to our Reach Next Generation podcast. I'm Grace Jeffries, and I'm thinking about my future. To help me do this, I'm speaking with successful women to get an understanding of the challenges they have faced throughout their careers, how they overcame them, and what tips they have for girls of my age. Today my guest is Reach founder and Sky Sports golf presenter Sarah Sturck. Sarah is also a successful businesswoman and a pretty good golfer. Thanks for joining me today, Sarah. Can we start by you telling everyone how you found your way to being a Sky Sports presenter?
Hello, nice to meet you. And I like the introduction. I like the fact you said I'm a pretty good golfer. I'm an average golfer. So, yeah. But great to be with you, here with you today and having a chat. I think for me, the Sky Sports presenter, you know, I've always been passionate about sport. So when I was younger, it was always my dream to be a professional tennis player was kind of my first love. And then I got a very bad shoulder injury, which basically put pay to any hopes I had of playing sport professionally. So I kind of thought if I can't play sport, the next best thing would be to talk about it or to present it or to host it. So I set my stall out to be a sports journalist. And it has been amazing. It's basically like having a front row seat to watch some of the world's best athletes, or in my case, the world's best golfers. So when I was at university, I did lots of work experience. I went to college in the States, apologies, just before that. And then I kind of got into the sports journalism when I was out in the United States playing tennis. Then I came back to Loughborough University and I just spent my whole time, you know, work experience during the holidays, trying to glean as much experience as I possibly could to give myself the opportunity to become and to follow my dream of becoming a sports presenter. So that was it, really. Work experience. My first job was Manchester United Television. And then I've just worked my way up gradually to Sky Sports.
So I know that when you were my age, you wanted to be a professional tennis player. But was there anything else that you wanted to be apart from that?
No, do you know what? I think when I was younger, I was just sports mad. And I think that's all I ever kind of knew. So I didn't know at your age that I wanted to be a professional tennis player, but I knew I loved sport. And as I got a bit older, I think it was probably 13, 14, about 13, that was what I wanted to do, was to become a professional athlete, professional tennis player. Obviously that didn't happen. I got a very bad injury. So I quickly changed tack when I knew that being a professional athlete wasn't going to happen. I quickly realized that the next best thing for me was to talk about it, or to, like I said, to present or host it. So, and I think one of the keys for me is I decided pretty quickly that that's what I wanted to do. So I think I must have been, about 18. And I said, right, okay, I'm not going to play tennis. So I want to work in TV. I want to work in the media. And I think that really helped me because I knew very early on what I wanted to do. So there was none of that kind of indecision. I didn't have to think about it or try, or I just said, right, that's it. I'm going to be a sports journalist. And that's the path I went down.
I can tell that you really like sports, since you wanted to be a professional athlete and pretty much all of your jobs have been in sport. But tell me, what do you love so much about sport?
It's a very good question. What I think I love about it is the unpredictability of it. And the fact you never know, you know, I've just covered the Masters on Sky Sports, and you have the best golfers in the world, and everybody, the big question is who is going to win the Masters, who is going to be wearing the green jacket come the end of Sunday. And I think it's just that element of just not knowing. You can have somebody in great form going into a tournament or a championship or an event, and then they might suffer nerves, or they might not have their best stuff that week, and they can get beaten by an underdog. So it's the beauty of that element of competition and not knowing what the outcome will be. And I think from a personal point of view as well, I've always been a big fan of sport and exercise. I believe it's obviously for the physical benefits, but for me, it's helped me so much mentally as well. So I feel my happiest when I'm doing some form of physical exercise. I think it's, you know, the endorphins and the emotional response it gives you is just the best feeling in the world. So to have the ability to do and play sport in my leisure time and then to work in it as my job, I think it's amazing. And, you know, I feel very lucky. I say this, that I talk about golf for a living. I feel very lucky to be able to say that sport is my passion and my hobby, but it's also my job.
Now, I know I probably shouldn't ask you this, But who is your favourite golfer?
Who's my favourite golfer? I would say I have a few. You know, they're a nice, it's a nice sport to work in, Grace. It's full of good people. It's a nice sport to work in. It's a friendly sport. But I'd say probably my favourite golfer would be Sergio Garcia. And I've probably got two, Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy.
So I know that you went to university, but how important do you think it is to go?
You know, that's a good question, because I think in some careers, it's very important. I'd say for, say, in my career in sports journalism, sports media, it's not so important. I'd always say that the work experience is more critical. So I did sports science at university and at Loughborough, and that gave me a great grounding and a good degree. But I did a lot of, I think, my best sort of work, as I mentioned earlier, in the holidays, the work experience. So I think work experience in my field, in my career, is more important than, say, a degree. If you want to be a doctor or an architect, I think, yeah, to have a degree in that relevant discipline is vitally important. But I think for me, not so much. But having said that, I had a great few years at university, and I feel like I learned a lot as a human being, as well as just, you know, doing a degree to help me in my career.
Well, perhaps you could tell me a little about REACH and its aims, and in particular your plans for the Next Generation Summit.
Yeah, so I think with REACH, I've always had a real passion for female empowerment and female leadership. I work in a very male-dominated environment. You know, TV, sports media is very male-dominated. So I always feel like I've had to work extra hard to get where I have. I felt like I've had to prove myself more than probably my male counterparts. So I've always loved the fact I had a very, very supportive, very successful mum who was always kind of helping me and my, I still say to her now, she's kind of my, you know, my inspiration, my role model. So she was always a strong, you know, leading female support and voice to me. And I think with REACH, I wanted to kind of set up a community where we could have all these successful women in different genres and different sectors who could come together to help and support each other to develop and further their careers. And also just to be a bit of a sounding board for each other as well, to talk about confidence, to talk about work-life balance, to talk about imposter syndrome. So it's been hugely, hugely worthwhile and hugely productive and hugely satisfying. And then I think with the Next Generation, it's about inspiring the younger, you know, the younger girls and boys, the younger generation. Obviously with this, it's, you know, it's looking at young girls 11 to 14 and saying, okay, what do you want to do in life? How do you want to get there? How do you want to be better? How can we help that next generation in their aspirations and goals going forward? And I think with the REACH Summit and the REACH events we've got and the REACH members, we have a lot of experience to be able to hand down to that younger generation.
So I know that work for women is a bit biased for men at the moment, but how do you think the world of work for women will be different, say, in 10 years' time?
I think it's what we've seen the last few years is we've seen more equal opportunities for women. Definitely, you know, the gender pay gap has, I think, shocked a lot of people. And again, it's something that I've experienced. I think now, though, we are seeing more equal opportunities and we are seeing more, I guess, more of a level playing field for males and females. So whether that's in sport, I've seen it in golf, for example, we're trying to level that gap between the pay in golf. We've seen it in tennis, still a long way to go, but we are seeing progress. And I think we've seen it with the coverage of women's sports as well. We're now becoming more on a level playing field than the men. It's much more equal. And I think with work, it's the same sort of thing. You know, we shouldn't be held back or there shouldn't be biases against us just because of our gender. And I think the most successful companies and businesses and brands in the world, it's about equality. It's about saying, okay, the workforce should be 50-50. You know, males and females have different qualities and different things that set them apart and make them successful. So if we can have an equal workforce, it's better all round.
I know that there's been lots of different precautions in place because of COVID, but I was wondering how recording the show that you're on and presenting golf, how that's been affected by the new rules.
Yeah, it's a really good point, because I think for my job, I travel a lot. So I travel a lot to the United States. So in a typical year, we're covering events in the PGA Tour through the year. So normal and a typical year, I probably go to the United States about maybe 12 times. So I haven't been overseas for a year. So my last flight was March 2020. So we've been doing, so for the first few months of the pandemic, we did some of our TV shows like this. So I'm in front of a computer in my living room, and I've got my TV in the background, and we're broadcasting live on Sky from our living rooms. And that's how it's been. Gradually we got back into the studio. So then we were back into our London studio in June. So all those events we normally do overseas, I'd normally be at the golf course, you know, with a microphone hosting that event from TPC Sawgrass or from Augusta National. I've been doing that in our London studio. So it's had a massive impact. And what's interesting as well, I don't think that Sky will go back ever to what we did before. We will go back to the States and we will have a presence on site at events, but we're not going to have the same level of crew at events ever going forward, because I think there's been a massive monetary saving for Sky. And we've had to learn how to do things differently remotely from London. So we've proved we can do it. So why would we go back to the old way of working? We won't. Things have changed forever in our industry.
Well, I have to say, wow, 12 times to America in 1 year is quite a lot. In the past years, have you found that quite tiresome, or do you quite enjoy going to America and then coming back?
I do. It's a very good point. I do find it very tiring. It's a lot of traveling. You know, I think my job can be seen as quite glamorous, and don't get me wrong, in many ways it is. You go to different countries and different, you know, obviously in the States, we go to different states, different cities, different towns all the time. And it's a great job. But it's also, what you're seeing on TV isn't always the true reflection. You know, we see a lot of hotels and a lot of golf courses, and that's about it. So it probably looks more glamorous than it is. So yeah, I've missed it, but I've also really enjoyed being at home more, seeing my dogs a little bit more, and just not getting on a plane all the time. It's been nice.
Oh, what dogs have you got?
I've got two. I've got two golden Labradors, Mia and Bear.
Oh, that's so cute.
So gorgeous.
Well, you've seen that you've done quite a lot in the professional world, in sports media, but is there anything that you still want to do personally?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have kids. So that's something high on my personal agenda, hopefully over the next couple of years. Grace, the last year has taught me, it's taught a lot of people. I love work and I've always been very ambitious and career focused and things like that. But as you get older, the last year has, I've kind of enjoyed the slower pace of life a little bit. You know, I talked to you earlier about the exercise and, you know, walking the dogs, playing golf, going to the gym, swimming. I've really enjoyed being at home more to do all that. And yeah, obviously during COVID, we haven't always been able to, but we've still had the outdoor space. We've still been able to do certain things. So it's about, I think it's just enjoying life a bit more. And I know it sounds quite cliche, but just being a bit more present and enjoying each day. And I think now that we're allowed to do a bit more, when I've just been out for lunch with a friend, and it's just nice to be able to do all those things again now that COVID restrictions are lifting, to be able to go out for dinner and coffee and all that sort of good stuff is fantastic. And then I'm quite involved in property as well. So I've got a few little house projects on the go as well. So I do a lot of stuff outside of Sky and Reach. So I'm pretty busy, but I'm always mindful of, you know, taking things a little slowly sometimes and enjoying the good times.
Well, I'm guessing as the founder of Reach, you like giving business women tips in life. Mm. But what tips would you give girls when they start to think about their careers and their futures?
So I think the biggest tip I could give, and I mentioned it earlier, is work experience is so important, and it was so important to me. And I think, you know, for example, at your age, you must have a little idea about what you want to do, do you, for your career? So I'd say to you, you know, the next few years when you can, as you get sort of, I don't know, 14, 15, 16, whatever, try and get as much experience as you possibly can. And talk to people as well. So talk to people, you know, friends of your mum and dad's or their friends, just talking to people and getting some advice and information. But as much work experience, even if it was just to go in for an afternoon or a morning at a company that you quite fancy working at or in the area you want to work at, I think work experience is so important. And then what I would say, because I felt I was lucky that I knew what I wanted to do quite early on. And I know I had friends who didn't know really for years what they wanted to do. And then they kind of fell into a job. I'd say if you do the work experience, you can try. You might think, oh, I want to be a vet or I want to be a teacher. But if you don't have that experience, you don't really know. And I think you should then try and have that clarity about absolutely knowing what you want to do. So you don't go into something then think, oh, do you know what? That's not really what I wanted to do or not really what I thought it would be. If you do the work experience, try, get as much information and then make the call and say, no, that's what I want to do. I'm going to set my stall out. I'm going to go for it. That's going to be my job.
Well, I know that you are an ambassador for the charity Dogs for Good.
I am.
A couple of questions on pretty much the same subject, Dogs for Good. Number one, how do you raise awareness as an ambassador for that charity?
That's a very good question. So I help them a lot with some social media. So they might run little PR or social campaigns. So what I will try and do is then promote it on my Twitter or Instagram accounts. I help them with, I go to some events or I host events for them. So they run like sort of coffee mornings they might have with clients and friends. So I go along and chat and talk about how great the company is. Hosting a golf day for them. I've hosted a couple of golf days. So basically I go along, give my time, welcome everybody, meet and greet. We run a charity auction and a charity raffle. So on that day, I think the last golf day we raised about £15,000, which was brilliant.
Wow.
So it's that really. It's the social media, and then it's helping with events where they can fundraise that then in turn helps the charity. But it's one of the most rewarding things I've ever done. I mean, as I've talked to you earlier, I love dogs. I know how much dogs help people. And for Dogs for Good, it's about helping kids and adults with disabilities. They work with a lot of kids with autism. And it's one of the most rewarding things I've done. I absolutely love it. Because you like dogs, don't you?
Yeah, I have a dog of my own. I have a Labrador.
And aren't they the best?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, this is a bit of a funny question. Before we go, I just have to ask this. I've heard that you've started drumming. And when I was younger, I did a bit of drumming, but not too much. And I was just wondering, how is that going?
Well, it's not going so well at the minute because I don't know about you, but I'm not very musical. So I thought, and I spoke to a couple of friends and they said, well, you're not very musical. Maybe the drums would be quite good. And I've always, they just look cool, don't they? You know, when you see drummers and you see bands performing, the drummer always looks cool and it just looks a really good thing to do. But I found it really hard. So I must admit, I need to. And then during COVID, I was having lessons. During COVID, the lessons stopped. So I need to get back into it. So you need to ask me that question maybe a year down the line and I'll have a better answer for you where I can tell you that I'm now nearly a professional and I'm going to join a band and yeah, all that good stuff. But yeah, it's hard. So you've had a few, have you? You've had a few lessons?
I haven't had I did it for a couple of years at school.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't really have a drum kit
at
home, but I did pretty okay, but then I just kind of didn't like it as much and I felt something a bit more, with more, number one, less loud, and number two, with more different varieties of sound would be a little bit more interesting than just banging some sticks on some drums.
It's harder than it looks. That's the thing for me. It looks easy. And then when you, it's like anything, it's like golf, it's like tennis. It looks easy. Then when you come to play it, you're like, oh, this isn't that easy. So yeah, I will. You've inspired me to get back to drumming lessons. And next time we speak, I will be better than I am now.
Yeah, I think what makes it hard is you have to have quite a lot of hand-eye coordination.
Yes.
Which is not so easy for some people.
Exactly.
Well, I've really enjoyed chatting with you today, Sarah. Thank you so much. And I'm sure everyone listening will now be thinking about some of the choices they're about to make in their careers. Keep listening to the Reach Next Generation podcast as I talk to many more brilliant women.